Dr. Paul Anastas is a researcher with the Environmental Protection Agency. He had some not-so-terrible news about the mysterious chemical oil dispersant BP dumped into the Gulf for months on end.
The dispersant oil mixtures are generally no more toxic to the test species than oil alone. They would generally be categorized in the moderate range.
What he means by generally remains unclear, but Anastas said the EPA tested 8 different dispersant products. He also said the agency has been rigorously monitoring the Gulf Coast to see if dispersants have traveled beyond the wellhead, and so far there's no evidence of this. This is contrary to reports that dispersants bind with oil and travel with it. Anastas said using the dispersants was probably the best option.
We see that dispersants are working to keep oil off our precious shorelines and away from sensitive coastal ecosystems. We also see that dispersants are less toxic than the oil being released into the Gulf. We see further that the dispersant plus oil mixtures have roughly the same toxicity as the oil itself.
But not everyone agrees. Over the weekend, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey equated BP's dispersant use to carpet bombing. And Florida Senator Bill Nelson is co-sponsoring a bill with New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg that would severely restrict application of dispersants. A similar bill passed in the House last week. Senator Nelson.
So I am filing a bill today with Senator Lautenberg of New Jersey to require certain standards be made on the dispersants and that there be the immediate public disclosure of any of those dispersants that would be used in the future.
Speaking to a crowded room full of reporters in his Tampa office today, Senator Nelson chided the Coast Guard for letting BP apply Corexit despite an EPA directional demanding they stop. In a conference call yesterday, Admiral Thad Allen defended the more than 70 exemptions the Coast Guard granted BP that allowed them to unload more dispersants. Allen said he is working very closely with EPA head Lisa Jackson.
On the 22nd of June, I actually convened a meeting. And we put one additional step in to make sure that EPA had total visibility on how this was going on. We put EPA into the clearance process down at the unified command so they would have visibility of it. But in the end, there are going to be times where our field commanders have to make a decision based on the best information that's available.
Nelson also had some words for the EPA's regulation of the dispersant in oil industries.
EPA is allowing the industry, the oil industry and the dispersant industry, to do their own safety checks. This is like the fox guarding the hen house.
The dispersant has caused many of the millions of gallons of oil that have hemorrhaged from the well to break down into specks not visible to the naked eye. At least 2 enormous oil plumes have formed beneath the water's surface. The environmental effects of the plumes, which scientists call subsurface hydrocarbons, are still unclear. Nelson said such copious application of dispersants has compounded the BP disaster.
If the oil would have risen all to the surface, we would have had a much better chance of scooping it up as they have done with the skimmers. And we would have known where the oil was, and that over time you would have had the sun oxidizing the oil on the surface. But with all the chemicals dispersing it, it's not just on the surface of the Gulf, it's throughout the water column, and that water column is a huge water column. It's a mile deep.
Speaking at the same news conference, University of South Florida physical oceanographer Robert Weisberg said that while time will tell what the best course of action was, cleaning up an oil slick probably would have been easier.
That's not my area of expertise, but at least my gut reaction would be, yeah, we might have been better off without using dispersants.
He said the unknowns associated with subsurface hydrocarbons include their impact at all levels of the Gulf food chain and how much of it is out there. Another is where the plumes are headed. But he did say that part of what's keeping oil away from Tampa Bay, at least for now, is the expanse of continental shelf extending westward into the Gulf.
The reason why Pensacola, Florida, was the first of the Florida regions to be oiled, in fact, they got oil before Mississippi got oil, is because of the DeSoto Canyon brings deep water right to the vicinity of Pensacola. It's only about 30 miles offshore. Whereas when you go west from there into the Mississippi Sound, the shelf gets rather wide, and you go east towards Cape San Blas. It gets wide, and here in the West Florida Shelf, it's very wide.
When oil first began gushing in April, Weisberg had speculated that the oil might get caught up in the loop current, which would have carried it through the Straits of Florida and up the East Coast. An eddy broke off and prevented that. But Weisberg said that event was an anomaly and that policymakers still need to consider that current when they talk about drilling in the Gulf.
We just had the worst environmental disaster we can think of with regard to oil drilling offshore. And no significant oil made it up the East Coast when everybody was saying, ooh, that might be a serious problem. I sure hope going forward in the future that we don't dismiss the connection between the eastern Gulf of Mexico and the east coast of the United States provided by the loop current when we consider future activities on the outer continental shelf.
Weisberg and a team of researchers are heading out into the Gulf again next week to find out more about the oil plumes. Tomorrow night, U.S. Representative Kathy Castor will join Navy Secretary Ray Mabus at a town hall at 6 p.m. in St. Petersburg. From downtown Tampa, for WMNF News, I'm Kate Bradshaw.